We left off last time with Maseches Tainis.
Sorry, I'm late.
Okay, today we're doing Maseches Megillah. And we start the first parak with Megillah Nikreis, the days that the Megillah can be read. What does that mean? We know what day the Megillah is read on Purim. But the first Mishnah speaks about something that fell out of practice a long time ago, where some cities, if they're afraid they won't get a minyan or they won't be able to serve people who are traveling by or who are shopping in nearby markets, that they're allowed to read the Megillah on a Monday or a Thursday, even if it's not the day of Purim, the Monday or the Thursday beforehand, going all the way back to the 11th of Adar. And then we have, of course, the anomaly that if you live in a walled city, that you read the Megillah on the 15th of Adar, not the 14th. And the Ramban, in his commentaries, Kedushim to Maseches Megillah, explains that the Jews who lived in walled cities in Persia felt that they were impervious to Haman's decree. And the holiday wants to accentuate the fact that Haman's decree was going to reach every single Jew, possibly even Jews outside of the kingdom. In other words, were a Jew threatened anywhere in the world, is a Jew threatened everywhere in the world. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam, had already been buying up land in New Jersey to build crematoria to kill Jews here in America. So that's why Haman, at the very end of the Megillah, the Ramban calls to our attention, is referred to as Tzorer Kol HaYehudim, the enemy of all the Jews. Earlier in the book, he's just called the enemy of the Jews. So that explains the first few pages of Maseches Megillah, of why we have these multiple readings to get the Jews to feel, even though, you know, you'd say it's more of an element of unity if everybody reads it at exactly the same time. Well, no, we want to be all inclusive to catch everybody and get everybody in, so we read it on a few different days. Okay, so a lot of the beginning of the Masechta begins with how to tell if you live in a place that gets to read early or that has to read on the 14th or has to read on the 15th. And suffice it to say, if you live in Israel, you can actually hear the Megillah on 2 days. You can hear it in Tel Aviv on the 14th, and you can travel to Jerusalem and hear it on the 15th. Okay, so the Gemara there teaches us how to tell where you belong and possibly where you don't belong, okay, in order to read it on the particular day where you should read it. Right, the end of the first parak is an immense collection of Agadah, of Midrashim, about the Purim story in general, and a lot of beautiful tangents, especially on the seven Neviot, the prophets and the prophetesses of the Tanakh, of course, one of which was Esther. So the second chapter talks about the fact that the Megillah must be read in order, and it says that the blessings of the Shmon Esrei, the Parshas of the Kriyat Shema, and the chapters of Hallel, as well as the chapters of Megillat Esther, must be in order. In general, whatever's not listed here can be out of order. If someone reads goes out of order for a blessing under the chuppah at a wedding, so you skip, okay, you go back and you read a different one, you know, afterwards. In other words, you can go 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, 6, 7. But when it comes to the Megillah, you can't read chapter 3 after chapter 4. And if someone comes late and misses the first two verses and then wants to make those two verses up at the end, you can't. You have to hear it from the very beginning straight through. Okay, so that's then we have more laws of the laws of reading, who can read, and through that, the beautiful sources about minyan and about how we know how to make up a minyan and what needs a minyan and very, very important Gemaras. What the mitzvahs that are done during the day? What are the mitzvahs that are done at night? Because the Megillah is read during the day and at night. Most people think that the nighttime reading is more important, but actually the daytime reading is more important. Of course, we should try to hear both. Okay, so the third chapter talks about things that are called Davar Shebikdusha, things that have holiness, inherent holiness in them. Nothing has inherent holiness except God himself and maybe the human soul, but things that have holiness that we shouldn't throw out, that we should forlorn, you have to bury them, things like that, like tefillin or tzitzis or books or names of God, things like that sort. And things that maintain a physical kedusha, like a shul or a street that's paved for prayer or for gatherings. And in some versions of Maseches Megillah, this is actually the fourth chapter, but in our Gemaras, this is the third chapter. And a lot of laws about Kriyas HaTorah, about Elaine, the Haftorahs, and things of that sort. And finally, the fourth chapter is Koreis HaMegillah Omeid V'Yoshev. And the Gemara, this is actually the third chapter, and B'nai Ha'ir is the fourth chapter. In some Mishnahs, it's switched. Okay, so this talks about all the Torah readings, Haftorah readings, and a lot of the advice about how to prepare for not only Purim, but all the holidays, the learning schedule to prepare for the holidays, and a lot of material that has to do with the laws of laning, how to lane, how to hold on to the Torah when you lane, the reason why we use it's called a yad. We take a pointer in our hand because we're not supposed to actually touch the Sefer Torah with our hands while we are laning. And we talk about how many aliyahs there are supposed to be. There are three on a Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos afternoon. And every day of the year that has something extra about it, we add another aliyah. So on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, we have Musaf. So we have four aliyahs on those days. On Yom Tov, we have Musaf, but also it's called an Isur Malacha. You're not allowed to do any labor. It's forbidden on Shabbos, except for that which involves eating and preparing food and carrying. So on Yom Tov, you have five aliyahs, because not only is there a Musaf, but there's also a prohibition of work. Then on Yom Kippur, in addition to the prohibition of labor, there's also a prohibition on eating. So Yom Kippur has six aliyahs. And Shabbos gets seven aliyahs because of all those. We don't have a prohibition of eating, of course, but Shabbos has a much more stringent aspect to it than Yom Kippur. Shabbos is holier than Yom Kippur because there are more aliyahs on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva felt that Yom Kippur was holier because of it's only one day a year and there's no eating and it's very solemn. So Rabbi Akiva holds that Yom Kippur has seven aliyahs and Shabbos has six aliyahs. But we paskin like Chachamim on that, and we have seven on Shabbos and six on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says that on all those other days you can add aliyahs. You can have only on Shabbos you can add aliyahs. The other days you should not. If push comes to shove, the poskim discuss how one can possibly add aliyahs to Yom Kippur and Yom Tov, but the custom is not to. Just on Shabbos, if there's a bar mitzvah, you need extra aliyahs. We can add what's called hosafas at the end. We don't have that custom in our shul. We try as much as possible not to burden the tzibur. And the Gemara, just at the end of the Masechta, discusses some of the issues of refraining from burdening the congregation. It's called Tircha de Tzibur. Okay, those are the four chapters of Megillah. And on Thursday, we'll have I'm going to make start with a discussion over whether we should do Moed Katan, which is usually in the Mishnayos, the next Masechta, and in the Gemaras, or Chagiga. Okay, I'm going to discuss what is the true order of those last two, according to many commentaries, and we'll see two very different opinions. Obviously, one before the other, they're opposite opinions. Okay, have a great day, everybody. I call to say that.
Thank you.